Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Wow, what an hour to start off the show for tonight. I was a little tired. I came in earlier today. I recorded with some business clients, went home, tried to take a quick nap, and sometimes my body has a little, it takes a little time for it to catch up. But man, that was a jolt of energy being able to have Bob Costas on the program for, 25 minutes roughly. Oh, wasn't that great? You can go back and listen to that now if you go to kmox.com/ONA. Or if you have a reaction to that, we could take some calls. It's a Thursday night into Friday morning. We're a little more relaxed. That's what happens. It's almost, it's the weekend. Come on. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. One person texted, let's see, this is Jeff in Clayton, said, if you could send a message to Bob, back in the 80s, I took out a girl that worked in community at KMOX. One night after she and I went out, she brought me to One Memorial Drive. Jim White was broadcasting when we walked into the studio. For some reason, KMOX had in the trash a whole bunch of vinyl 33 records, discs of Bob Costas doing segments of highlights of the sporting news, which were all-time sports highlights segments. KMOX management had them, believe it or not, in the trash. I asked if I could have them since I was such a Costas fan. I walked out of KMOX with a white box full of these vinyl records 30 years ago. It's amazing the things you remember. You know, you don't remember the date. You're like, I kind of remember the girl. The date didn't go so well, but man, I walked out with a box of Bob Costas vinyl. That was the highlight. The things that you never forget. I like that. That's a good text message. Thank you very much, Jeff, for that one. You see this at KMOX.com? The St. Louis wheel in the aquarium were starting to take shape, and they're starting to build that Ferris wheel. That's going to be really cool. I like the idea. They call them gondolas, which is weird. I've never heard of a Ferris wheel and gondola in the same sentence. I guess it would count, but the way they make it sound, you can look at this at KMOX.com. They rotate so you can see a total view of not only downtown St. Louis, but you can kind of get a view of some of the other areas. And since it's over there, the aquarium, they also hope to have up and running before the end of the year, which is pretty awesome. I love that. 120,000 square foot aquarium. Their first resident is already there. It's a lobster. They name it Stanley. Yeah, the lobster's named Lord Stanley, was donated to the aquarium last month from Boston. I listened to a podcast once. I didn't know this. When you are in the animal business, like you're a zoo, you know, not like a rattlesnake wrangler or anything like that, but when you run a zoo and you manage a zoo, you can't just sell animals. There's not like an open market where it's like Facebook marketplace. Oh, I could use a bear and we'll trade it for, you know, a couple of penguins or this or that. And you know what happens? They don't sell them. They actually trade like that. So when there's a zoo that needs a specific animal, there might be another zoo that says, okay, we can spare one. We're going to send it to you. And then that one zoo that sent an animal somewhere else has a little bit of favor and clout, and they kind of get dibs. So when they're in need of something, someone else steps in and they can cycle animals around that way. Isn't that kind of neat? You think it'd be easier just to buy an animal, but no, that's a way for other zoos to be able to stay competitive. You would think that the St. Louis Zoo here would be able to get any animal they want because just so well known, and it's one of the biggest and greatest. It's always ranked number one zoo in the country. It's a free attraction. So many different families go there. The sea lion show is awesome. I can't recommend that enough. Who voices that? I think that's John Goodman voices that one. We got to get Bob Costas to voice something over at the zoo. Yeah, every time I go to the Transportation Museum, I hear in the background, welcome to the Transportation Museum. I'm Bob Costas. And he does the I didn't know if he even knew they were still using the recording. You can find that one aquarium story online. I can't wait to go visit it. That's going to be pretty neat. You need to unwind. I found this one out too. This is quite a headline on Inc.com. It says, almost exactly 2 years ago, there's a guy, Jeffrey James is his name, wrote this. He had open heart surgery. And he was relatively healthy. He said he didn't really have any signs that he would need that sort of thing. He exercised. He didn't smoke. Ate well. He wasn't overweight. All of these things were going into his place. You know what his doctor said was the reason he needed open heart surgery? You know, he had CVD, cardiovascular disease, you know, heart disease. It was workplace stress. Did you know that can happen? There's so much stress at work. And if you feel like you're exactly like Jeffrey James, you have all this stress, everything's crazy, that one day they may be cracking open your rib cage to work on your ticker because of that stress. Is it worth it? Absolutely not worth it. It's not worth it. Think every time you walk in and you're always worried about so-and-so and this and that, and I'm guilty of this too, sometimes the littlest things will super annoy me and it adds stress to my life that shouldn't be there. You know, I'll get here and something, you know, someone didn't throw something away over here and you see trash over there and you wonder, like, who does that? Or you walk into the bathroom and it's dirty and, like, who leaves the water running in a public bathroom? You walk in and the sinks are turned on. You're like, that's a workplace. Who does that? Or they'll leave food out over here and it stinks, you know, and they'll expect someone else to clean it up. Or, you know, there's a mess and someone used your desk and there's crumbs. And there's all of these little things that are triggers for me. And I got to find a way to just calm it down because, man, it's like, now that I've read this, that workplace stress can bring you heart disease. I just got to calm down. Maybe I should start smoking to calm me. Yeah, I see a lot of people here, they'll go outside and they'll smoke in the parking garage and come back to cool themselves down. You know what it sounds like right now? It sounds like, smoking is better for you if it calms down the stress levels. Isn't that crazy? Well, I'm sure a doctor wouldn't tell you to smoke, but it sure sounds like you may have a less risk of cardiovascular disease by smoking if you get some of that stress off your back. They said a study of 412,000 U.S. workers published in this journal mentioned that workplace characteristics most likely to cause heart disease is mistrust. So you don't trust your boss, you don't trust the people around you, whatever it is. It says pinpointing mistrust is a culprit, however, gives us a handle on what work environments to avoid, like the plague. Consider this, mistrust can exist even inside workplaces that are outwardly supportive. So everyone's all fancy and smiles on their face, but you still don't trust the people. That's tough. Any environment, and man, radio is one of those environments. I feel like every radio person I ever met, rightfully so, says, I could be gone tomorrow. It's just the nature of the business. It is stressful. It's sad too. It's sad because you could do all the right things. You could be doing a great job. And next thing you know, sorry, see you later. That is tough. And it's a common occurrence in radio. I read all the radio trades and every day you see the stories about, oh, this is happening over here and there and it's some change over here. And you always wonder the circumstances, but a lot of times it's outside of their control and nothing they did. That's a tough thing. See, I'm already stressing myself out. I shouldn't be thinking about these things right now. I need to go take a smoke break. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. We're going to have a fun show tonight, so we'll keep things a little bit flexible. You're invited to call. We'll keep the phone lines open. Our producer is actively sitting on the receiver right now to warm it up, so when you call in, it'll be nice and comfortable. It's Overnight America, KMOX. I got to say, I'm not a hero. I don't know if I want to put on a cape anytime soon, but when I hear stories about people who do heroic things in public, sometimes I think, would I have done the same thing? Do you ever wonder what your reaction would be if you saw police chasing after someone on foot and you were in a position to maybe knock the person over or tackle them or hold on to them just long enough for the police to get there? Would you do anything? There's a few different scenarios. There's a scenario A, which is if you're with your family and let's say your wife and kids are in the car and you notice something like this, your first priority is to make sure that they're safe. So obviously running after a suspect in an active police situation may not be the smartest thing for you to do. Situation two, you're alone and you see something happening and you can read what's going on and it's pretty obvious what's going down. You get a guy trying to chase after a suspect. You can tell who the suspect is. You can tell who the police are. Should you intervene? Do you intervene? I'm just asking. Maybe you have. Have you ever tackled someone? You know, a stranger? Man, you hope you get that situation right. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. Any more, I don't know if it's a good idea. As helpful as you want to be, just think about this. Let's say the suspect is a different race than you, and you get the situation wrong. They're going to pin you as a racist for the rest of your life, and they're going to write articles about you. They're going to put your photo on all of social media. They'll dox you for the forever. You're going to be labeled that incorrectly, even if you thought you were doing the right thing. There are some risks involved with doing this. Well, there's a story on KMOV. Two Metro East men take matters into their own hands. And this is over in Germantown, Illinois.
These two friends were buying lottery tickets at this bar when they noticed police chasing after two guys leaving this bank across the street. One of the suspects was getting away, so these friends jumped into action.
Wow, so they didn't think twice about it. This would be a pretty exciting thing to witness during the middle of the day. Anymore, I don't know if I can catch someone. Even on my best day, I would run out of breath, you know, 20 seconds down the line, the person would be gone. So I don't know how much of a help I would be. I'd have to be close enough to bump the person off track or at least kill their momentum long enough for the police to catch up. But tackling someone, whew, who does that anymore? It's noble, but there's so much downside to it. So much downside.
Didn't really think about it, just instinct. You know, seen him running and wanted to stop him.
Stop this man who police say posed as a construction worker with this guy and tried to cash a fake paycheck inside Germantown Bank. Billy Holtgrave and Brad Marshall first followed the suspect in their SUV.
By the time we seen him, we were coming on this road right here, and we noticed him running through these two houses.
That's when they hopped out and started chasing him.
Wow. How would you like to be middle of the day? You are just hanging out with your buddy, lunch break, and you see someone running. Whew. Wouldn't that be something? There's only one scenario I can think of in my life where I had to pursue something like that or put on a pursuit. And one time when I was working during the summer for the Parks and Rec Department, there was one summer I actually worked at a petting farm and the pig got loose. This giant beast of a pig named Porkchop got loose. And my buddy and I were the ones responsible for cleaning up the petting farm. It was closed to the public at the time. We'd get there early to clean it before they'd open up their hours. And we left the pen open on accident. And all we could think of was, well, what if the pig gets out to the main street? A car hits this thing. We're done. We're goners. There's no way they're going to let us. They'll fire us on the spot. So then we had to figure out, how do you wrangle a giant pig that outweighs both of you combined by about fivefold and still get this thing back into the pen? It's probably the only freedom this pig has ever seen. And miraculously, we were able to do that without anyone getting hurt. And I don't know if we ever told that story to anyone. I think we kept that one of our little secrets. So, not same comparison? No. But, you know, you had to spring into action. That's, I guess, a little bit different. I've never been with a buddy just hanging out at a lunch break and said, you know, I'm going to chase after that guy. You think we can do it?
I think right after he got through them bushes and when we, was when I tackled him and actually got him down to the ground.
Putting him in
I bet that feels pretty good, tackling someone that you're chasing after. I got to say, without actually playing the sport of football, if you're just knowing that you got to stop someone, tackling them's got to be very rewarding, right? You make contact and knock it down. There's something special there.
Putting him in a headlock until police pulled up.
We didn't know if he had any weapons or anything like that, so
yeah,
it was pretty intense.
That's why you give him the $1 million dream, Ted DiBiase style. You get right behind him and doop down.
Anything like that, so it was pretty intense. That's for sure.
A bank employee helped the two friends hold him down.
Many people in town had eyes on these guys. They weren't getting out of town without getting caught.
Police Chief Jeff Whipples.
That's a good quote. I like that police chief over in Germantown. Listen to that quote again.
Many people in town had eyes on these guys. They weren't getting out of town without getting caught.
That's my kind of guy. He knows what's down. He knows what's going on. So a lot of people were watching these two. They knew they were up to no good. They weren't getting out of town before we got a hold of them. I like that.
Police Chief Jeff Whipples says people are protective of this small town with just 1,200 people.
23.5 years I've been working here, and never once did I ever have to worry about the town's residents not helping me if I needed it.
Though he warns, in most cases, leave it to police.
It was pretty stupid. It was very risky.
It was pretty stupid. But you get to tell that story for the rest of your life. What an experience. I was able to find someone running out of a bank and tackle them. They're out there buying scratchers at the bar across the street, and next thing they know, they're on a pursuit for a suspect. Anything like that ever happened to you? I mean, have you ever been somewhere and you've seen the police react in a way where they're chasing someone, and it's like watching a television show in real life? You know, there's one thing. You can go to a movie and watch the actors play things out. You can go to the Muni and see it live, and it's a whole different experience. It's probably like that. It's like a live version of Cops. What's that popular cop show anymore? It's Live PD or something. I don't watch it, but it's every time it's on, the thing's trending on social media all the time. I don't know why people like it so much. It's like Cops, but more like news oriented. Is that what it's called? Live PD? That's what it, okay. Why do people like that show so much? Do you know? Cops is just classic. I can watch an episode of Cops anytime. I like the older episodes of Cops where they're driving around in like the, you know, the 83 Chevy Caprices, the giant boats or whatever those cars they had back in the day. And it's almost like the Blues Brothers where the things were just outfitted, no limiters, and they could just go crazy with these things made of pure steel. So if they were to run into something, it, you know, they'd take trees down if they had to. You know, there's no plastic on those old cars. I love those old classic episodes. Those are the best ones. And it's the same show over and over again. I make fun of HGTV for having the same show over and over again. But you watch an episode of Cops, in the older episodes of Cops, it's basically, we're driving around, see if anything happens. Beep, beep, beep. Oh, we got a suspect over on so-and-so street. All right, let's go check it out. You hear the engine rev up. And they finally get to the spot. Okay, we got someone over here. We'll go check it out. And then someone runs. Please, freeze. Please, don't move. Stay right there. And then you hear them huffing it. Get on the ground. Get on the ground. And they finally get him. Arrest him. Hey, man, you don't got the right guy. And then they show the Cops logo, and then they do it again. You know, the repetitive nature of that, for some reason, is very hypnotic. Every once in a while, you get someone that, you know, is misrepresented. And they say, you know, they oh, you got it wrong. And you're like, oh, actually, they got it wrong this time. That makes you wonder. I don't think I would ever want to be on a ride-along with the police, because I had a radio station that would offer that, and one of the disc jockeys took them up on the offer. And it was fun at first, but then later, she was called as a eyewitness, so she had to take time off of work to go testify to what she saw, and she said, it wasn't worth the hassle. So you're now involved in this court case you don't want to be involved in, because you're a witness, and you have to show up, and you have to do this, and now you're a public figure, and, you know, people take note of that when you're there, and then you got to do it. So she said, it's not worth the hassle. Don't do it. Please. All right. We're going to have a fun night here tonight. Why not? Let's go tackle some suspects. Let's do that. Yeah. Hey, maybe someone's going to drive one of those Lime scooters, a little out of control. See if I can hunt one down and tackle them over, just like that KMOV article we just did. Two Metro Eastmen take matters into their own hands. Ah, those guys, I'll tell you what. A couple of other stories. Why is everyone licking things? Like, when did that become a thing? Who thinks to lick things? Here's a little thing. Alex is our producer right now in the other studio. I licked something in that studio that you've touched. Do you want to guess what it is? Ooh, that answer coming up next. Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Why is every kid licking something right about now? I do not understand why this trend has taken over. Oh, I'm going to go lick things. So I wanted to give it a try. Like every other radio station disc jockey, they said, there's got to be something here to make this a viral hit. So when they did the bottle cap thing where it showed different personalities that were able to kick the cap off of a plastic bottle cap, if you haven't seen this one, they loosen the cap. And the idea is you kick it where you're just, your foot's kissing the bottle cap enough to get the thing spinning so it pops out, but you don't want to knock over the bottle itself. You know, it's becoming a viral trend. So all these radio stations and the morning shows out there, they think to themselves, I got to get on social media and I'm going to be the next one to do this. And my listeners will love seeing me try to kick bottle caps unsuccessfully. So I got into that spirit and I thought, well, with everyone licking something, I went into the producer booth where Alex is right now and I licked something in there that he uses. So do you want to guess, Alex, what I licked? Take any guesses?
Okay, can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
I have two guesses. If I can have more than one guess?
Yeah, go ahead. Guess as many as
okay.
you want. Yeah.
I'm going to say the mic.
Ooh, no, gross. That, you know how many spit is on that thing? Yeah,
this thing probably needs to be disinfected more than anything
all
in this
these
whole room.
Mics. That's the way all radio stations infect everyone else. You get one sick person come in, they talk into the microphone, and they're coughing and breathing on this thing, and the next person comes in, and next thing you know, everyone has a sore throat. Okay, so no, not the microphone. I wouldn't lick that unless I was trying to force myself into a sick day.
And the phone.
Lick the phone? Why would I lick the phone?
I don't know.
Ugh. That's another gross thing to lick. No, I did not. You want to take a third guess?
Let's see. I hope to God not the mouse, because those things are more disgusting than anything else.
I feel like licking a toilet seat. No.
I have no idea.
No, I did not lick anything. Did you really think I went in there and licked something?
No.
I'm a grown man. I'm not going to lick things.
You're not going to lick something and then put it back like the ice cream people?
No, this is like teenage children doing these things. For a minute, did you actually believe I went in there and licked something?
For like maybe 30 seconds, and I'm going, no, he wouldn't lick anything in here.
I love that you looked around and you thought, huh, I wonder what he licked in here.
And you're like, but no.
In general, most people should live their life that way. When you walk into a room, the first thing you do is, I wonder if anyone licked anything in here. I better watch what I touch.
It's like my 1.5-year-old. Everything goes straight to the mouth. So
yeah. The kids, yeah, absolutely. They got to test things out. Thanks, Alex.
Welcome, sir. That's pretty fun.
The same thing when you go into a bathroom. The first thing you think of is, what here has had some sort of bodily fluid on it, and I don't want to be around that, right? And stuff on the floor. Here, guys' bathrooms are gross. I don't know what the women's bathroom situation are. Or, yeah, like in a hotel situation. You walk into a hotel room. The first thing I do, let me give you my hotel routine. If anyone's grossed out by this, you know, where are you guys tonight? Seriously. Why is it so quiet tonight? Where is everyone? 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You are invited to call. Do I have to give you a golden ticket before you guys call back in? Come on now. What happened to everyone tonight? Yeah, when you walk into a hotel room, that's the worst because you have no idea the people that worked on that room or if they did their due diligence to clean it, and you think, okay, what are all the other gross things people do in this hotel room? Because you think about the gross things you do in the hotel room, and you don't know if the cleaning staff actually changed the sheets or the pillows, or did they actually put the towels back what happens here? And sometimes you think to yourself, well, I wanted to save some money. I went to one of these discount hotel things. I wonder what corners they're cutting. And then you walk in and you immediately put on your hazmat uniform. You remember that scene in Willy Wonka where they go into the clean room and they're wearing like, it's like a hazmat uniform, the all white outfit. And the only thing that's showing are their faces. And I make my family put those on as soon as we get in. It almost looks like we're going to commit a crime, like those movies where they're going to murder someone. So they put a bunch of, you know, they put all the plastic in the room and they're wearing the all white so they can get in there and they don't leave any DNA evidence behind. That's how I feel in a hotel room. So I get in there and the first thing is, all right, I don't want my skin to touch anything in here. It's okay, the bottom of my shoe or my clothes. I don't want anything touching my skin. And then you start inspecting and you're like, there's like a toenail over there. And oh man, when's the last time they looked under here? Or gross. And you start to freak yourself out, and all of a sudden you're sleeping in your clothes. You don't want to do anything, or you're in the bathroom. Even worse, what else has been around here? No, thank you. So why lick things? A Florida woman arrested after her daughter caught on camera licking tongue depressors. That's the latest thing. There's a couple of these stories that have gone around. Originally, the one story was the teenage girl going in and licking the top of an ice cream, Bluebell ice cream down in Texas. And they caught her pretty quick at that Walmart because they had surveillance footage. Someone had to have known she did it because, you know, they're holding up the camera and filming it all. She puts it back and leaves. So she got in some pretty serious trouble for that. That brought the mimics out. They looked at that and said, what a great idea. Just like all of the radio personalities that do all those viral tricks all at once. You know, they got to keep relevant for the young kids. You know, they want to get that demographic. So they're going to go out there and, you know, pull a disc in their back trying to kick this cap off of a bottle. And then it leads to people like me that go around licking things. Yeah, I'm just going to have to try to lick things. Why is everyone licking things? So a Florida woman who took the video of her daughter licking medical equipment in a Jacksonville doctor's office, is under arrest. The mom did it. Are you telling me you didn't have better discretion over your kid? You didn't think that was a appropriate thing to do? Wow. And it wasn't like it was on accident. It's not like the mom was, oh no, I'm going to get in so much trouble because I accidentally spilled this over and I don't want to pay for it, so I'm going to put it back and not tell anyone. You know, it wasn't one of those scenarios. They thought it was funny. Oh, ha, 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 ha. The girl's wearing a hat. She takes the tongue depressor, licks it, puts it back. Action news, Jacksonville smoke with the woman who posted the video on Snapchat. Her name's Corey Ward, and asked what was going through her mind. And she said, I mean, honestly, I wasn't thinking. Well, no kidding. This is Fox 13 in Jacksonville doing this story. The station said Thursday that after the video surfaced, the 30-year-old woman was arrested and faces a charge of tampering with a consumer product without regard for possible death or bodily injury. Wait, 30 years old? She's the mom? She's got to be, looking at the age of the kid, she must have had a kid at a very young age. Because she, I mean, the kid is old enough to know better, too. We're not talking about a little kid that did this. Says, this is how viral infection spreads, through respiratory droplets. And here you're putting saliva on a tongue depressor that you're putting straight into someone's mouth. That was Dr. Sunil Josh, a doctor that's not related to that medical office, but decided to comment for that news story. Stop licking things, please. Come on now. You know, whenever they do those stories about, let's go do a test and see who cleans their ice cream machines around town, and then they'll take a little swab and see how much bacteria is in those little ice cream nozzles and everyone's disgusted. Yeah, let's fix that too. Let's fix all of these problems. I decided to go on to Google. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm sure this is going to flag our IT staff, but I typed in licking and I went to Google Images just to see what popped up. You know, there's the mugshot of the guy from Houston that got in trouble for licking the ice cream. There's, here's another person. It's a guy that's licking a doorbell. You know, they have one of those Ring doorbells or whatever. So it's caught on camera. The guy is licking this thing. Man caught on video licking house's intercom. Ugh. You know, you see people licking bars of soap. Florida politician accused of licking faces. Ugh. Why is there so many? Here's another one. People licking weird things. Why did I Google this? Oh, you know, every once in a while you come up across a cute one. Like, here's a dog licking its tongue or licking its nose. Aw, I see. That's a good one. Why couldn't we do that? Teenagers licking each other's eyes? What? What kind of crazy viral trends are we talking about here? I don't get this. This next generation is doomed. If this is the type of comedy that they aspire to get out there, they think this is the pinnacle of viralness. Man, we're in trouble. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, here's more people licking things and people. And I made a mistake. I shouldn't have Google searched this. I've made a huge mistake. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. Come on now. It's almost Friday. Let's have some fun. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Got another text message from Jeff. Jeff, you got to call in, man. That story's a good one. Please. These text messages come a little garbled every once in a while. They post them out of order when you have the long ones. So, yeah, tell your story. Here's the number. 436-7900, 800-925-1120. Maybe talking some alien stuff. There's people that want to sign up to Storm Area 51 to, quote, see them aliens, end quote. That'd be a good T-shirt, wouldn't it? See them aliens, the T-shirt. All right. There is a story on Fox News. Ex-Scientologist says John Travolta tried to resurrect son. Jada Pinkett Smith recruited other stars. That was the headline. Leah Remini and Jada Pinkett Smith at odds over Scientology. This is kind of interesting. You know what I don't quite understand? Scientology, I think, has protections as a religion, as they call it, the Church of Scientology. You know, they get the nonprofit status or the, you know, the church exemption status is because of that. But the people that are in it don't treat it like a religion, do they? Because most people I know, if you have a certain faith conviction, you're not afraid and you're not hesitant to talk about your beliefs. Scientologists don't like to talk about them all that often, do they? That's what I don't understand about it. It's very contradictory to what every other faith would share. When someone asks them a question about it, you would hope to engage them in that conversation, because if it's something that's deeply held, something that you believe in, then you'd want other people to know about it if you look at it as truth. Scientologists are not like that. They're very secretive. In fact, I think it's probably one of the better arguments to prove that they are not a church, they are not a faith, as in there's a lot of questionable things that go in there. The documentaries that have lately came out about the Church of Scientology, there was that one on HBO called Going Clear, and Lee Remini, who is the actress, used to be in the Church of Scientology. She even had a television series talking about certain experiences she had inside of it. And there's another author out there, Sam Domingo. He's the former daughter-in-law of legendary opera singer Placido, maybe? I only know a few opera singers. If it's not Luciano Pavarotti, I'm pretty much spent. But he has made some claims about the Church of Scientology. So he is someone that was inside of it, the Scientologist, for 22 years. Alleged that actor John Travolta tried to raise his son Jet back to life, which is kind of tragic. And if you think about it, when you have those moments and you lose a child, I mean, there's not much more tragedy that could happen in your life that could ever touch something like that. And I don't want to make light of it. It's weird because I don't think Fox News tries to make light of it or tried to lessen that. But when they talk about, oh, it's weird and it has to revolve around an action that is losing a child, you got to tread lightly. You don't want to make it sound like you're making fun of it or anything like that. But as part of the what was happening here, it says, Sam Domingo's a woman. I'm sorry. She also claims that Tom Cruise adopted children with Nicole Kidman who were indoctrinated to hate their Oscar-winning mother. Domingo, 51 years old, told the Daily Mail that Travolta desperately tried to save his son, Jet, 16, during an ambulance ride in January of 2009 after the boy suffered from a seizure. And she says, quote, Scientologists believe the spirit, Thethan, doesn't pick up a body until birth. If you lose a baby before it's born, then it's just an empty shell, nothing to worry about. It's the same with death. To them, once your body is of no use, the Thethan can go out and pick up a new body and carry on right where you left off. So it's kind of like that idea of, you know, you see this in, I don't want to say the Hindu religions and things, or reincarnation. Domingo also said John Travolta did a, quote, bring back to life assist while Jet was in the ambulance. It's where you can order the Thethan back into the body, saying, I command you to get back into the body. This is meant to raise them back to life. That, it just breaks my heart when I hear that. It just breaks my heart because you have a father who's doing anything that he thinks is possible to bring a child back to life. I just frantically, you'll do anything, right? You even see people that are pure atheists will pray to God in a situation when there's an emergency. They'll do anything they can. So, yeah, people will cross that line, and man, they'll try anything when they're desperate. So I can see why he would default back to something that the Church of Scientology would say is true when obviously it's not. And it's a sad situation all the way around. I mean, he was led to believe something like that was the answer. Says, when Jet died, Kelly was camped out at the church headquarters in Clearwater in a hotel room day and night with private security. When you lose a child in Scientology, you believe that the spirit, the Thethan, was left the physical body and will find another one. So you try to find comfort in that? Do you believe that's comforting? That there's a reincarnation, so if you lose someone close to you, oh, at least that person's going to go out somewhere else there. Domingo alleges that Scientology used special tactics to turn their kids against Nicole Kidman, who was deemed a suppressive person by the church. Yikes. As far as Kidman and Cruz's children, Domingo says the Church of Scientology capitalizing on Isabella and Connor's fame to promote the religion. So maybe capitalizing is not the right word. Maybe it's more of manipulating That might be a better word for it. Isabella and Connor Cruz aren't the only stars Sam accused of being used to promote Scientology. You have Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, repeated denials of being involved in Scientology, but Sam alleges that Jada actually served as a celebrity recruiter in the church. Man, how would you like to get into those social circles to the point where Scientology is trying to recruit you? Seriously. Do you think you made it big? Oh, great. Look, I'm at this Hollywood party. Oh, look. There is, John Travolta. Whoa, I used to watch Welcome Back, Carter all the time. Oh, man. And then you look over there and, oh, Tom Cruise. Whoa, so crazy. Tom Cruise, one of the biggest action stars in Hollywood history. And then Jada Pinkett Smith comes up and Will Smith. And, you know, they start getting jiggy with it. And they want to start to tell you about Scientology. And you're like, oh, wow, I guess that's what happens at Hollywood parties. I can see how some people would get mixed up in those sort of things. But that's the thing I don't understand. If they deny it, I believe that they're not a part of it. But if they're actually a part of it and denying it, what's the point of being in it? Like, why keep that secret? Don't you just want to profess the things you believe in life? Or are you too cowardly to profess those things? You know, that's part of the sad thing. I've seen there's been a lot of changes, socially speaking, where people are more likely to engage into their beliefs, even if it's something dangerous or, you know, pretty terrible and disgusting. You see a lot of times these, hate groups that start to rise. You see people, neo-Nazis and things like that. You see some racists that, you know, we're not talking about people that are accused of being racist just because someone wants to try to put that term on you. I'm talking about actual racists, you know, ones that are actively engaged in violence against someone that, you know, just because of the color of their skin. And you see these people, they're emboldened. They're out there and they don't care if the world knows it. They want everyone to know it. They're not afraid of their beliefs. They feel like they can go out there and do this sort of thing. You know, everyone is their opportunity to express themselves. I'm sure the internet helped propel that. But that's the thing. Scientology, you never see that. You don't see anyone from Scientology go out there and say, this is who I am. And that would be the biggest recruiting opportunity for you. Yeah, I don't get that. It's just a weird, weird, weird thing. We've had ex-Scientologists on the show, and I've had good conversations with them, and man, they are very controlling. I mean, they'll get your bank routing number and just take money from you if they need it because they got to hit quotas or whatever. Just weird, weird organizations. All right, another hour of Overnight America coming up. We got to get some people engaged here tonight. Man, what happens? Everyone's sleepy. It's Overnight America.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.